Whenever you're ready, you introduce it. It's your movie.
Okay. How do we start the first one?
Hey guys, welcome to the In the Picture podcast. I'm one of your hosts, James Peel.
Okay. All right. Is it okay if I say "was that"?
No.
I prefer you not.
What? Why does it matter?
Because we made "was up" as a joke. It's not going to be. Because
you sound like a fucking idiot. Don't do it.
Huh?
Because it was a joke. It's stupid in real life.
Yes.
No, "was up" is funny in real life.
No, "was up" is not funny.
No, it's not.
Like anything ironic that Michael Scott does is not funny in real life.
It's cringy as fuck, and you want to kill yourself.
No.
Even when Michael
"was up." You guys are so disconnected from cool.
Well, don't do "was up."
Yeah, okay, you want to do a social experiment? Let's just go to random people in the street, and when you introduce yourself by saying "what's up" or "what's up," let's see how people react.
Yeah, and that's another issue, too, is that saying "was up" more than likely clip the audio.
No, because he did it really loud. I'd be like, "what's up."
Yeah,
I'm going to do it anyway.
Just do whatever you want.
Do whatever the fuck you want.
Welcome to the In the Picture podcast. I'm one of your hosts, James Peel.
I'm your other host who hates that so much, Bill Borowski.
And I'm Drew, and I don't know, it kind of grew on me. I kind of liked it, actually.
All right, I'm glad to hear it.
It's weird that you like changed your mind as the second we started recording. I think that's kind of funny.
You got to do something to create interest.
Sure.
He's completely against it.
You're just lying to the audience.
No.
I think he's lying to the audience, so that means you can't trust his opinion. So
no, full disclosure, I honestly thought I actually liked it as soon as it happened in context.
See, I knew it would.
I stand by my opinion. I don't like it.
Well, you're the weakest link.
Go watch Godzilla again.
All right. For those of you listening, I am a fan of the 2014 Godzilla movie. And
for some reason.
For some unknown.
He doesn't even know why.
He doesn't know why.
I have to rewatch it. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember it was like the best thing I'd ever seen in theaters at the time. just the ending. Oh my God, it's so good.
But just the ending is so good.
That's the only thing that's good.
But the buildup, oh my God.
The boring buildup with no characters.
We're not here to talk about Godzilla today. We are here to talk about one of my other favorite movies, Hobo with a Shotgun. This is a Rutger Hauer classic. I would say the best movie Rutger Hauer has ever starred in. And we are going to be reviewing it today.
It's interesting to me that you call it the Rutger Hauer classic, but Rutger Hauer is just the star. He didn't direct it. He didn't produce it, I don't think. But it's Rutger Hauer. Like, who directed it?
You guys care more about directors than I do. I care, like, I know directors are more vital to the success and the whole film, but when I think of a movie, I don't think of the director. I think about the main star.
All right. Well, Billy's on the case. Billy's looking up who directed it.
I am.
Oh, I already know who directed Hobo with a Shotgun.
Who directed it?
Well, I mean, I was in the middle of a sentence.
Then say who directed it.
Okay. The director of Hobo with a Shotgun is...
Doesn't know.
Wait, no, I know this. Don't tell me. Hold on.
I like how you said, no, I totally know who it is. And then you're like,
shit. Jason Eisner.
Yeah, that's it. I knew it. I know his face. I know he's like chubby and he's white and he has a beard.
Billy, have you seen Treevenge?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Treevenge is great. It's a 15-minute YouTube video.
Also by Jason Eisner.
And yep. I did find out right before I watched this that this was a part of Grindhouse, Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez's
This was a collaboration. Part of Grindhouse?
This was one of the trailers in front of Grindhouse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was...
It totally would have fit in with the rest of the Grindhouse movies.
Yeah, well, it's like inspired by the grindhouse genre, basically.
Yeah, it's inspired by exploitation films.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And
we'll talk about that. We'll talk about why that makes Hobo with a Shotgun a special kind of movie.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you brought that up, Billy, because that's a good segue. So Hobo with a Shotgun was originally just a short fan or not fan made, but just a short little shitty trailer, you know, about Hubble with a shotgun. And then they decided.
Who didn't star Rutger Hauer, right?
No, no, he was not in the trailer. Yep. It was just some Joe.
Some asshole.
Yeah. And then they, and so that played, yeah, like a Grindhouse festival or something. And then they were like, that was kind of interesting looking. Let's make a real movie. And then they did, and somehow they got Rutger Hauer to be in it.
And they somehow got $3 million to this movie's name.
Yeah, and
all
and
like their pitch is he's a hobo.
He has
got
a shotgun.
I mean, he wants to buy a lawnmower.
Delivering justice one shell at a time.
I mean, the movie writes itself. Come on, guys.
It really does. I mean, but when you have such a basic plot.
And this isn't the
shotgun.
Only Grindhouse trailer that became a movie. Machete, of course, became a movie, and that got a sequel, Machete Kills. And
I haven't seen
that,
Machete.
That's I'm pretty sure they're making a third one, Machete in Space. So,
oh, of course. I'd see that one.
So, I love it when like movie trilogies like just run out of ideas and they're like in space.
That'll Jason, like Jason in space.
Yeah, Jason X.
There was a Jason in space?
Yeah, Jason X.
He goes to fucking space.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. There was a I know there was what was that movie?
There's Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah, he like literally takes over a city.
There's like 13 or so. It's something ridiculous, some high number.
If there's 13, then that's perfect.
Yeah.
It might be like 9 or something. I'm not positive.
Mm, you said 13, so.
Okay, I then.
Gonna take you at your word on that one.
Okay.
Nobody fact checked this.
Yeah. I am right. No one fact checked this. I am always right.
It's kind of a fun fact, right? It's 13
Jason
movies.
Believe it or not, you heard it here
and
first.
And they're never going to make another one just to keep that 13.
I think they are making another one.
Of course. Well, what was that? I was going to say, I think Thanksgiving, which is a hilarious movie. I strongly recommend it.
I don't know. Not really.
I haven't seen it.
It's the best Thanksgiving movie about a serial killer turkey that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I strongly agree with that.
Where he wears someone's skin and no one knows that it's him, a turkey.
Okay. That sounds like some Men in Black
shit.
Don't
they think it's their dad?
Yeah.
Like, hey, dad.
Yeah, yeah. He kills their dad and then he wears her dad's face as a mask.
What the fuck?
Oh, that's the... I actually want to watch
that's some
that
weird
movie
ass
again.
Shit.
That's hilarious.
My favorite line in that movie is when he has sex with a girl. He like kills the boyfriend while he's having sex with his girlfriend, and then he starts having sex with
the
her.
Turkey.
A turkey. It's
yeah,
a
turkey.
Turkey.
What
starts
the fuck?
Sex with the girl, and then
what
he goes,
the fuck?
She turns around, and sees the dead boyfriend, and he goes, "You just got stuffed, bitch."
God. Oh my
it is,
God.
You know, that like. It's really reminding me. I really enjoyed that movie. I remember I like really enjoyed myself during that movie. Maybe we should give it another
watch. Maybe that'll be the Thanksgiving Day
it's
special.
It's honestly like no, it's pretty funny. It's not like one of those like wannabe parodies. It's actually like fairly funny.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was our review of Thanksgiving. Thank you for joining us.
Come back next week when
all right,
we'll say we're going to do one movie and then talk about another and then end the podcast.
That's the new premise of the show.
Yeah.
We give you one movie, we review another.
Disappointment, the podcast.
All right, so Hobo with a Shotgun is about a hobo who rides in on the rails to a new town known simply as Fucktown. And
I thought it was Scum City or something.
Well, there's a few different names, but the main one that...
The sign outside the city says Scum City.
No, it says Scumtown.
Scumtown.
Oh, Scumtown.
The town was originally called Hopetown.
Mm-hmm.
And
everybody
within the city limits,
Fucktown.
They call it Fucktown.
Oh, it's got layers.
Yeah, so it's like officially it's Hopetown.
Yeah.
To outsiders, it's that's Scumtown. But to the people that
so
experience
yeah.
it, it's one level higher. It's
so,
not just Scumtown, it's Fucktown.
So the inside.
Done,
so if you're a cool kid, you call it Fucktown.
No, it's more like if you're highly unfortunate, you call it Fucktown.
All right.
Oh,
and
God.
So he rides in on the rails to this unfortunate area. And
unfortunate.
It is
those less fortunate than us.
It is overrun by crime and the lowest caliber of human.
Like, think of everything on the news that made you go, ugh. And, like, this is all of that cranked up to 10 all the time.
Yeah, so just a handful of antagonists in the film. There is a pedophile dressed as Santa Claus that kidnaps children.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
I like
that's
that one.
Probably my favorite.
There is a pimp. He's basically just a pimp.
Yeah.
And then we have also perhaps the most notable in the film, other than Drake, the main character, who we'll get to in a second, is the guy who he pays people to participate in snuff films where he like you asks you to do something. You have to do it in order to get the money. So,
well, it's not technically a snuff film. They don't always die.
Snuff has to be death?
Yeah. Snuff is death filmed.
I just put those like bum fights on YouTube. That's who I assumed.
Yeah, point is, it's very deplorable activity.
Just a guy who records bums fighting each other, you know.
Or eating glass. That too.
Yeah.
And then he eats
and
blood.
Then he makes you pick up your money with your mouth.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
You didn't watch the movie close enough then. And therefore, all your opinions are null.
Yeah, because Hobo with a Shotgun, the modern cinematic classic.
All right, we'll get to that. We'll talk about it.
So, Rutger Hauer comes to this town, sees how disgusting it is, and he, after seeing enough, he decides that he needs to make a change and deliver justice one shell at a time by buying a shotgun from a dollar store and...
Pawn shop,
and
I wish it was a dollar store.
That would be funny. Family Dollar shotguns.
Yeah, Family
Except
Tree.
They're $49.99.
Yeah, he goes to
a
Dollar Tree, and then they have a shotgun for like 50 cents.
He cleans up. What's the tagline one more time?
Taking out or delivering justice one shell at a time.
That's what he does. That's what our hobo with a shotgun doesn't have a name.
How many times have we said delivers justice one shell at a time? We've at least
I think
said
we're at
it
like five.
Yeah.
Five times.
Let's try not to say it anymore.
No,
I think we're too. I think we're too deep into saying it. So I think we should just say it more and more and more.
Well, two other main characters are Abby, the prostitute that befriends Rutger Hauer, and joins him in his escapades about halfway through the film,
with a very surprisingly heartwarming scene.
Yeah,
I was surprised with the emotion that they have behind those scenes.
She provides
given
the most,
what surrounds it.
Yeah, I didn't expect anything like that in this movie. I'm like, oh, they're actually trying to give you something to care about.
Actual characters.
Interesting.
And
who knew?
The main antagonists are the Drake, who runs the town. He's a crime boss, and he is the worst person imaginable. He murders people for fun. At the very beginning of the film, he rips his brother's head off.
That's how you start a movie.
Yeah. And it's a guest cameo from the guy from Trailer Park Boys. It plays Drake's brother.
Let's put it up there with the top 10 character introductions of all time. The Drake.
So, yeah. And then there's his two sons, Slick and Ivan. Slick is the number two guy. He's
the tall, more attractive one, right?
No, that's Ivan. Depends what you... I mean,
that's
Ivan's taller.
Taller one.
Ivan's taller.
Ivan's the one who is living in Slick's shadow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ivan's the more attractive one.
Okay, yeah. And actually, fun fact, the guy who plays Ivan is also a model. So it's funny that you brought that up.
There you go. He is the more attractive one.
So
wouldn't you agree, Billy?
Sure.
All right. So Slick he has long slicked back hair. I assume that's where his name comes from.
Unnecessary information.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like he's trying to fill it with something. There's just so little to talk about.
It's like it's got so much substance. Like, I mean,
he's
his
got
name's
slicked
Slick
back hair
because his hair is slicked back. Okay,
so
can we like get into like the actual movie, because we spent like 4 minutes describing the plot of Hobo with a Shotgun.
No, we're gonna go play by play, tell the audience exactly what happens so they can watch along at home.
Yeah, because it has such a complex plot with so many twists.
It's one of those watch twice kind of movies. You know, like you gotta go back and it's like Memento.
Yeah,
in that regard.
I mean, you got like Terrence Malick with Tree of Life. You got
Memento.
You got Memento, and you got Hobo with a Shotgun.
Primer, and then Hobo with a Shotgun. I think I saw it on a Watch Mojo list.
Oh, because when you see that on a Watch Mojo, you know it's true. Top 10 imaginary birds.
Top 10 soups.
Yeah, but I actually really like this movie. It's fun to watch. It's entertaining. It's I'm a vindictive person, so it's like the perfect film for me because any bad person in it gets killed, which is great.
That's true.
I'm surprised you didn't like it. You don't like it because the hobo dies at the end. I assume that would like really piss you off.
No, I liked it because he died for the greater good. Like the whole town like rose up and rebelled. Oh god, it turns me on. I love that shit.
The correct word would be it's emotional. Like it's a very powerful moment.
No, I think turning you on is a correct phrasing.
These are some of the most. These are some of the films that turned us on the most.
Hobo with a Shotgun. Films of the Campbell year. Holocaust.
All right.
Okay. Well, James has been talking about Hobo with a Shotgun since middle school.
I've heard so much about this movie.
I remember
so much.
Yeah, I have too. But the thing is, in middle school, I was much more conservative than I am now, and so I never wanted to watch the movie because I knew what kinds of sinful things occurred in the movie.
Jesus doesn't want me watching this.
Yeah, he probably still doesn't. I mean, it's like the least pious movie I can think of. But so I remember one particular time, James turned on Hobo the Shotgun against my will while we were at a sleepover at his house, and I spent the entire time turned away from the screen just hearing what was happening.
Oh, God.
And I was like, James, turn it off. And James was like, no, you pussy. Like, keep watching it. And the one scene I heard is the scene at the beginning where the kid at the arcade gets his arm broken and his face jammed in a bunch of cocaine. And that's when I knew I had had enough.
James, I want to leave.
We definitely didn't get past the scene where the hobo stays at Abby's house for the first time.
Okay. But, yeah, and I'm sure you would have like had a seizure and died if you had seen the school bus scene.
Oh, yeah. Surprisingly, that scene disturbed me the least. I'm not very disturbed by implied terror or implied violence. Except for, of course, The Mist.
That's
a spoiler.
That shit fucks you up.
Yeah, that's one of the... That's just... I saw that movie when I was 9.
Yeah, you see that when you're 9, you, like, want to kill your... Well, I still want to kill myself after
I
watched
it. Yeah, I remember, like, I was, like, sitting there, and the movie ended, and my dad was like, what'd you think? I was like, I think I was just like... It was good. And then, like, I went to my room or something. It really messed me up, though. But anyway, so now that I have more of an open mind, I was a lot more receptive to what Hobo the Shotgun was putting down. And I can say that it is a super enjoyable movie.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that.
And that, let me just butt in real quick. That's why I like it. I don't think this is an artistic masterpiece.
Well, I mean, it's not really...
Well, but let me also say, it does have some artistic merit to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it as a postmodern work...
God.
Billy disagrees.
Well, talk then. I don't...
No, I just...
Do you know what I'm getting at with it being postmodern?
I just think it's funny... Calling Hobo with a Shotgun postmodern. I don't know. I just think it's funny.
It is. It's completely soaked in postmodernism. You can't deny it.
I'm not denying it. I just think it's funny. That's it. I just think it's funny.
That's a fun fact. Funny fun fact. Because it's a fact.
Okay. So I honestly, other than saying, oh, it's an enjoyable movie, there's really, like, I have, like, nothing else to really say about this.
Really nothing?
I honestly don't. Like, I watched it, and I was like, that was really enjoyable, and then it just kind of, like, fleeted from my memory.
That I don't get. That movie kind of sticks in your, like, that, to me, Hobo the Shotgun is, like, one of those movies that you... It's one of those movies that becomes an individual classic. I can see how it being a cult classic because it feels like one of those movies where it's like on Netflix. James stumbled upon it, or don't know. How'd you stumble upon it again?
Your sister showed me the trailer on YouTube. And
that's
I
right.
was intrigued.
Okay. And so it just feels like one of those movies where like you stumble upon it and then it just captures something for you and it becomes like an obsession. And it's especially fun when you like can share it with someone where it's like, this is a movie that I found myself that I, you know, I love, but no one really knows about it.
Yeah.
It just feels like one of those like super personal classic movies that's just so specific to your tastes.
Yeah. I completely get why James loves the movie so much. Like, I completely get it. I don't know. I just saw it, and I was like, it was really entertaining, and I don't really have much to really say.
That's, like, the beauty of it. It's just, like, it's just an enjoyable thing. I watch it, and I'm like, I fucking love this. This is awesome. And I'm like, I'm going to watch it again, and I'm going to watch it
again. Yeah, but that's the thing. I, like, never have – I saw it once. I do not have the urge to really ever rewatch it.
All right, did you lose your head laughing in the very first scene where he gets his head ripped off?
I was laughing, yeah.
The prostitute starts bathing herself in his blood.
His blood.
like, what the? The most
disturbing. I'm not saying that I didn't like it. I just, like...
Oh, it's just so
It was a really fun, enjoyable, over-the-top movie. And I honestly think it would have worked better as, like, a short film because I think at a point it just gets a little bit... Like, the premise wears thin a little bit.
I thought everything about it I love, except for this is like the first time I've noticed it watching it. Like, something I didn't like about it was some of the line delivery was kind of sloppy, especially with Abby. She was
it's an homage to exploitation film, so I didn't really expect high caliber acting.
Yeah, making
so I kind of gave the acting a pass. But what I do like is that Rutger Hauer really kind of, like, he's probably the only one that really, like, kind of gives, he's the only one who doesn't really give an exploitative performance. Like, he's the only one who really tries to, like,
yeah,
act,
he plays
you know
it
what
straight.
I mean? He plays it straight. Like, you don't feel like he's really winking to the camera like everyone else is. Like, he plays it really straight. And I just find it hilarious that Roy Batty is a hobo with a shotgun and just, it's very enjoyable.
I loved the scene where some Slick is calling Drake after he got his balls shot off by the hobo and the phone's ringing and Drake goes, just give me the fucking phone already.
No, and what's so
what?
What's so funny about it is that his servant is like in the process of bringing it to him. And, like, he's walking over. He's like, give me the fucking phone already. Like,
no,
he's bringing it to you.
I love the delivery. I'm pretty sure
Drake
is
easily the best character in the movie.
I'm pretty sure it was the guy who, the store clerk, and we're when the hobo walks
fuck.
Up and he's like, oh fuck!
when he first walks into the pawn shop, you can hear him on the phone. He's like, no, I want three fucking big dogs. Yeah, and shave them first.
Yeah, just
and
like.
And then he's talking to the woman. He's like, no, I don't take babies. The woman's trying to trade her child for something.
Yeah. I mean,
that's business in Fucktown.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, that was probably the funny. It just came out of nowhere, and it's just his facial expression when he said that line. I don't know. That was probably the thing that made me laugh the most because it just came so out of nowhere.
I love one of my favorite lines in the movie. All right, here I'm gonna go through two lines that are my favorite lines in the movie. One is when the corrupt police chief, they throw him into the trash, and then he goes, and don't forget, you fucking piece of shit, that every day is garbage day for street trash like you. It's like,
he wrote it down.
Yeah, it was so well planned. I remember I used that. I was playing an online game with somebody once, and I beat them, and then I sent that to them. And then,
do you remember what their reaction was?
I remember distinctly because it was hilarious. They said, "I'd hate to be you. So sad."
It sounds like genuine pity too. Yeah. Like they weren't just mad that you won.
They had like an ellipse at the end too.
It's like the competition at the end of Billy Madison. Just like feeling so much pity for James. That's hilarious.
Everyone in this room is stupider because having listened.
May God have mercy on your soul.
my other favorite line in the movie is when Slick and Ivan show up to the motel that Abby is staying in, and or the apartment actually, I think. And like Ivan wears his what are they called? Ice skates? Yeah.
Oh.
And Slick's like, Ivan, you're going to ruin your fucking skates. And Ivan goes, I ruin everything. It's so funny, God. Like, it's such a perfect combination of humor and action.
That line must have passed me over. I don't remember.
Oh, really?
I ruined everything.
And then, like, as they're walking up to the door, he's like, woo, it's a beautiful day for a skate rape. It's like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Oh, God.
The little hollow attempts at creating a message or, like, making a symbol of the hobo, I thought were really enjoyable. Especially the scene where he's talking to the babies before the final showdown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When he says, oh, you'll end up like me, a hobo with a shotgun.
I expected him to kill
doesn't have
all
that
the babies.
Southern accent.
Everything you like has a southern accent.
Was I the only one who expected him to kill the children?
Yeah. He's not a murderer.
I don't know. He
delivers justice, and he goes on about how all these babies are innocent.
Well, no, he does kind of go into a little thing about
He starts kind of saying, oh, you're all going to end up like this. And then by the end of his speech, he kind of goes like, or maybe you'll become like me, da-da-da-da-da. So, like, the first half, I was like, oh, he's going to fucking murder some babies. And
it really would have been right at home within the context of the film. So
because it wouldn't have fit his character at all.
But if they could have played it at an angle of he's saving these babies from the harshness
of
the
world. Yeah, from becoming
the
citizens of Fucktown, yeah.
That would have ruined the movie. If he had done that, it would have ruined the movie for me.
Yeah, because you don't like seeing innocents murdered.
Well, yeah, but...
But Billy and I, we like a good baby killing on screen.
Yeah, I mean, I eat a baby once per day. It makes me big and strong.
It's like a Flintstone vitamin.
Yeah, you got to eat them uncooked. The meat's better when it's uncooked.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Can we just talk about how cool the plague was? They're like the coolest characters ever.
Oh yeah, they're absolutely.
Those are the robot, like the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like how they're
not robots. They're like demons.
Well, you know what I mean.
They're barely alluded to, but then they become like an integral part of the plot, and it just feels like they're like, oh, we just want something like super cool, so they just make these bounty hunters that kind of exist for no reason, and they have an octopus in like a closet for no reason.
All right, so for those of you listening, if you I forgive you if you didn't take the time to watch the movie before listening to this, but the plague are a pair of bounty hunters from hell
they're from hell.
Presumably.
So that's even further from... That stretches the reality even further and makes them even cooler.
They're definitely, like, Satanists because they have, like... Their, like, icon is, like, an upside-down cross.
So amazing.
And they're the coolest duo in film ever. And basically, they just go around killing everybody. And they're hired by the Drake to capture the hobo to... finally bring an end to the justice he's serving one shell at a time.
Name a more iconic duo than the Plague. I'll wait.
Anyone ever.
I'll wait. Give me one.
John McClane and Zeus.
Who? They're not a duo. All I know is John McClane.
Han Solo and Chewbacca.
They're not a duo.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, but they're not cooler.
Yeah,
yes,
they're
they
not
are.
More iconic.
Nobody,
yes, they are.
Like, nobody
okay.
is cooler
okay, here.
Than the Plague.
If we did a social experiment where we went to like a middle school and we showed a group of kids a picture of the Plague, and then...
Yeah, because middle schoolers are
they'd
fucking
be like,
stupid.
They'd be like, all right, who's this? They're like, oh, that's the Plague.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they're
yeah,
like,
yeah,
they're
yeah
like,
let's
okay,
do that. Yeah,
now,
yeah,
who's
yeah,
this?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, I don't know, like Fuzzy Guy and Richard Simmons. I don't,
Richard fucking
I don't
Simmons.
Know, like,
which one are you talking about?
Han Solo and Chewbacca.
The jazzercise one or the rock star?
Oh, the jazzercise one.
Okay.
What the fuck?
I want to dance with somebody.
All right. Well, the ending is amazing. He.
I don't know. The ending left me cold. I will say that.
Really?
Yeah.
I love the ending.
I was kind of expecting more of an, like, the movie had just delivered so much, like, in terms of the gore, which I'm all, like, I love gore. I'm so down for gore. And the movie delivered so much in the violence department that I was expecting it to end with, like, an all-out bloodbath. And it looked like we were primed for it. And we did get that with the arms getting ripped off and then stabbing with the bone, which was awesome.
They probably ran out of budget.
Yeah, they're like, we're out of money. We've already used like 50 gallons of fake blood. We can't afford anymore. But I was hoping like the Kill Bill Volume 1 final, like
the crazy 88 fight.
Oh, yeah, that was saying
something like absolutely insane.
Yeah, but I liked it. I liked it the way it was because I wasn't in it for the gore, really. I was in it for, like, the gore definitely added to it for me, but
if there was no gore, I would have hated Hobo with a Shotgun. I don't know what that says about the movie, but its gore is the deal maker.
What I was going to say earlier was, the most disturbing scene for me in the movie was the part where they're in the arcade. And they have the bumper cars, and they're, like, smashing
the guy's
head.
Oh, it just cuts straight to, like, someone gets head getting smashed by bumper cars.
See, and I like, those practical effects, you just, like, you can't help but love. They're so charming.
Yeah.
As much as a practical effect of a head being smashed by bumper cars can be charming, but it was charming. I liked it.
It was endearing. It really was.
Nothing turns me on more like effort. Someone's head getting smashed in by bumper cars.
That disturbed me was there's one like small shot where you can see, like, it's just really a quick shot of, like, you can see they're force feeding a guy like the organs of another dead guy before they kill this guy.
Now the scene that disturbed me most was the scene with all the naked women beating that guy hanging upside down.
Then
the Drake hit him with?
When life gives you razor blades, you make a baseball bat covered in razor blades.
Yeah, that's the best line of the movie. That's my favorite line of the movie. I love that line. That is so Drake.
There's so many good quotes from this movie.
Yeah, and then also when he hits him with the razor blade baseball bat and then his guts spill out, that was very, very much to my liking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're in this for gore, you should definitely watch Treevenge. It's great.
Treevenge is a little on the disturbing side of the gore, though.
Yeah,
like
there,
I know
there
earlier,
is a baby killing in that one.
Even though earlier I said I like baby killings, I actually don't like baby killings. it's something that kind of makes a movie kind of detracts from it for me.
With a shotgun.
When you were saying I wouldn't have liked the baby killing because I don't like innocent people getting killed, like. That's true, but it does not apply to this movie for me. So, because, like, the bus scene didn't bother me.
Oh, that's true.
And for those of you listening, the bus scene, Slick is trying to prove that...
Don't spoil the bus scene.
All these episodes are spoilers.
No, yeah, I'm going to spoil the bus scene. Because if anything, this will just intrigue people to watch it, so...
The bus scene is absolutely... hearing it described, like, you can't even believe it's something that any parent would allow their children to be a part of.
So, basically, Slick has been beat up by the hobo the night before, and he needs to prove that he is not one to be fucked with. So he boards a school bus alongside...
You know, you do what anyone would do.
Yeah, alongside his ever-so-supportive brother, Ivan, who's playing Burn Baby Burn on a stereo speaker. And Slick burns a whole school bus of children alive with a flamethrower.
You know, like...
Family picture.
Like when your school bully says, you know, get out of the way, nerd. You're like, I'm no nerd, and then you burn him alive.
Yeah,
like, and then everyone else on the playground.
We've all been there.
I'm not a nerd. Like, would a nerd do that?
How dare you?
Nerd gonna
I don't even like Dungeons and Dragons. Like, all right. Well, I'm surprised to see that we're kind of running out of things to talk about with Hobo the Shotgun.
You see my point.
And we're only 30 minutes into the podcast here. So yesterday or last week, we talked for a full hour about Goodfellas, and I didn't even notice that an hour had gone by until James said we should probably wrap it up.
And we probably would have gone on longer.
See, so what does that say about Hobo with a Shotgun, James?
It says that it's not meant for an Oscar, but it is meant for everybody to watch. Because it is...
Everybody?
Everybody.
Even grandmas and grandpas?
Everybody.
I would have loved to see my grandma's reaction to this.
Can we do that and record her reaction?
The grandma that I really wanted to see, she passed away. But the current one, I already know her reaction. She's my grandma who drinks beer.
Right.
The Bud Light grandma. she would be like, no, what? That's disgust. Get that away from me. That's what she'd do.
Your other grandma would be like,
well, what is this sin? This cinema.
No, let me really think about how she would. I think, she'd probably get quiet. She'd be like, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch this. But then she'd be like really quiet, and she'd probably say she was ready to go home like early.
Yeah.
It would probably deeply like it would tear something inside of her.
She'd be a broken person.
Yeah, honestly, she probably would be.
So if you want to break your grandma, show them Robo with a Shotgun.
This is a great movie to get a reaction out of people.
That is true.
It's also good if you love Hobo with a Shotgun and you're not like sure, like you start dating someone and you're not sure if they're the one, like show them Hobo with a Shotgun. It's a litmus test. If they love it, then put a ring on it.
Well, and if they hate it as well as you, then put a ring on it.
No, because a lot of people can hate Hobo with a Shotgun for a lot of reasons.
What if you're indifferent upon
it? A very special kind of person likes
it. Okay, so if you like
this,
then show it.
If you're both indifferent to it, then it says nothing, and you should find other ways of... but, James, would you...
Yeah, because this is... you know what? This is the perfect date movie, I think. It's got everything.
Okay, but the question I was going to ask is, does Aureli like this movie? Have you shown Aureli this movie?
Yeah. This is...
Aureli is James's girlfriend, by the way.
Yeah. This is the first time she came over to my house was when I showed her this movie.
Bold move.
Yeah, that is pretty bold. I will say that is, like, what kind of planet are you from where when you first bring a girl to your house, you're like, oh, honey, let's watch Hobo with a Shotgun. Like, what the fuck?
All right, you're not even calling him honey yet.
No, yeah, you're like still like if you're
still like, hey, Aureli, want to watch Hobo with a Shotgun?
Well, all right, yeah. We actually watched two movies that day. And that was Hobo with a Shotgun, and the second was Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie.
Wow,
classic.
Double
what
trouble.
The fuck?
How is she still with you?
Yeah.
She's a very special girl.
Honestly, if she's still with you,
what
after
was her react? Did she like them?
Yeah, she thought they were funny.
Yeah,
Wow, I'm trying to...
I wouldn't want
to
watch those
I'm
movies
trying to figure out
own.
what my ex-girlfriend would have done if I had shown her. What did I show her?
The most
her?
Recent one?
Yeah, most recent ex-girlfriend. Other one probably would have thought it was funnier, but... other ex-girlfriend. But the most recent one... What did I... Like, I'm trying to think of the most violent thing I showed her. Yeah, I don't know. I think I sheltered her from a lot of things that I like.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think your most recent ex-girlfriend would have absolutely despised
you
with
her. Yeah,
shotgun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she absolutely...
She doesn't like me, so...
Well, that and she liked movies. I could tell how much she liked a movie based on how much she said, like, that's me, or like, oh, that's so me, like, so relatable. So basically every romantic comedy where the girl is sassy, she like loved it. Sandra Bullock goes like, Ryan Reynolds, I'm gonna make you my bitch. She goes, me, and then I'm like, okay, yeah.
She make you her bitch?
Kind of a little bit. I will say that's not why we broke up, but with it, we're not going to get into this.
This, this is
relationship
podcast.
Talk with Bill, James, and Drew.
You know, Hobo the Shotgun is a great guide to your emotions and especially navigating relationships in today's modern connected world.
I will say this.
Lesson of the day. If you're going to take anything away from this, that would be it.
Yeah, don't show your lady friend.
Just deliver justice one shell at a time.
Don't show your significant other Hobo with a Shotgun on the first date. Just
actually, I'd say do.
Yeah,
do, if you love Hobo with a Shotgun, absolutely show it to her. Because you're not going to waste your
time.
You're not going to want to waste your time with...
If you're a person like James, who's a very interesting individual...
Appreciated, thank you.
Yeah, show them Hobo with a Shotgun for the first time, just to let them know... What they're getting into.
Now I'm actually interested. Billy, what's your litmus test movie?
La La Land, right?
La La Land's too easy to like.
La La Land's too easy to like.
But you said you literally called
it a litmus test movie. But that's like I mean if you do not like La La Land, one, you're not a human. And two, go fuck yourself. I don't know. What did I show my exes? I showed one. Well, I'd say Back to the Future. Back to the Future, I would say.
Really?
Yeah. Because my ex hadn't seen Back to the... My most recent one hadn't seen Back to the Future. And like, so I showed it to her. And I was like... And I didn't know if she was going to like it because I'm very... blinded to that movie. That's one of my favorite movies. In my opinion, that's a perfect movie. I absolutely love Back to the Future. So if I was like, if you don't like this movie, I swear to God, and turned out she liked it. So I guess Back to the Future is my current litmus test. But
Back to the Future is so easy to like, though. Like, it's a beloved classic.
Back to the Future
classic.
For me, like, I haven't seen it. I don't know when the last time I saw it was. Like, maybe
my next pick is Back to the Future.
Oh, please, God, no.
No, I already.
Okay,
I already let you know what my next pick is.
There wouldn't be much to talk about, honestly.
I want
to
say the only reason I asked you guys was so I could say mine.
What, litmus test?
Yeah.
I don't know what mine would be. I mean, I haven't really, like, I don't know. I mean, we watched Misery on, like, the second.
Listen, you already got an answer, Bill. Now it's time for Drew.
You know what? Fuck it.
To ease them, like,
you lost your privilege, Drew. All right, that's the wrap. We're over.
First movie I'd show them is Whiplash, obviously. Just to kind of ease them into the world of films that get often overlooked. Because a lot of people haven't heard of Whiplash, or they're like, oh, I didn't see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like ease them into the world of, hey, there's movies that you haven't heard of. There's such a thing as a good movie that you don't know about.
You have to pick movies that you haven't seen.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'd show him Whiplash. Funny enough, my ex-girlfriend didn't like Whiplash. So,
oh boy.
Should have been a red flag,
yeah.
But
red flag,
I was blind.
Red flag, red flag.
And so...
what's your ultimate one?
I
want to hear your guesses, actually. I'm guessing Inside Llewyn Davis.
I was going to say Anomalisa.
Okay, that's one of them. So that's actually one I didn't think of until just now. But that's another movie I showed to my ex-girlfriend. She also didn't like it. But Anomalisa is one that I showed to my girlfriend before my current ex-girlfriend. And she, the only thing I remember is she turned down the volume during the puppet sex scene because she didn't want her parents upstairs to think we were watching porn. And she didn't really have an opinion on it. But my ultimate movie is Mary and Max as step two.
What?
And then step three is The Seventh Seal.
I've never even heard of that.
Interesting.
Have you heard of that, Bill?
Yeah, I have.
Seventh Seal is a freaking masterpiece.
I will say that. If you show a lady friend Seventh Seal, and they
girl,
like it as much
I,
as you do, yeah, they,
if
yeah.
If I show a girl the Seventh Seal and she likes it, I am rock hard.
You're marrying that girl that night.
I got one. Blazing Saddles.
Oh, a comedy is actually a good one.
Blazing Saddles, pretty much anything by Mel Brooks. If they love it as much as I do, That'd be my litmus test. If they like enjoy it and like laugh as much as I do, like in Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein, that's it.
Yeah.
Especially Blazing Saddles. That's like my favorite Mel Brooks.
I like Mel Brooks less and less the more I get older. Like Young Frankenstein, I thought was hilarious when I was young, and now I don't find it funny.
The older I get, I actually like it more, like Mel Brooks movies more and more.
Yeah, I dislike Spaceballs the more and more popular it gets.
All right, well, I think we've run out of stuff to talk about, so I'm going to wrap this up.
We did
up.
Like 20 minutes ago.
Drew is going to pick the next movie. Do you want to give any hint as to what it's going to be?
Some hipster trash.
It's not hipster trash, actually.
I just said that to get a rise out of you.
I know what hipster trash is, and I do have some hipster trash on my back burner for stuff to subject you guys to. You guys are going to hate yourselves. I'm going to love myself.
More than I already do?
But the movie I'm picking, it's one of the best films that I've seen to date. So you guys will get to know what we think next week.
All right. So that's a wrap. Everybody want to give your out of 10 rating for Hobo with a Shotgun? I will give it an 8 out of 10. Billy?
You can go. Me? 5.
Fuck
five
you.
Out
six.
Of ten.
Six. I'll give
six
it a
out
six.
Of ten. Right, I give it a solid 7 and
yeah, I'm gonna
three,
go with
7.75 out of 10. I'll nah, 7.7 out of 10. 7.5. 7 out of 10.
7.5 will do.
I'm not going to have you scare me into a rating. Yes. Oh, sorry. Yes, Master. 7.5.
I was raising, that, I was raising my fist at both of them while they were giving their ratings.
He actually had a knife to our throat. 7.25.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, I'll take 7.25.
Out of 10.
All right, thank you for listening. And as always, my brother is going to play
Good
us
God.
Off. So thank you and good night and good day.
Or good morning.
Or good morning.
Just
have
goodbye.
A good commute.
Just
have fun at work.
Whatever. Just end it. Just
goodbye.
End. We can end now.